So I always thought to stand on this stage, you have to be at least 6 feet tall. So I wore my boots tonight to make me a little bit taller. Yeah. please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I come with my head bowed, thanking you for this time in history, this time and place that you've given me to share the story that you've written for my life. I pray, oh Heavenly Father, that I articulate what you've done with your mercy, your grace, and your love, and that my story will at least touch one person and prick their hearts to let them know that you are a loving, trusting, faithful God. I am so grateful that you've loved me through the many difficult times in my life and have brought me to this point. In Jesus' name, amen. My name is Cecil. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from same-sex attraction and severe depression. The majority of my life was engulfed in depression, a strong desire to be in a same-sex relationship, self-hatred, and asking God, why me? I grew up in a conservative church that did not encourage openness, honesty, and confessing our specific sins. Although I attended church and was baptized at ages 9, 11, and later on in my 30s, my heart truly never embraced worshiping God. At times, attending church felt contrived and insincere. I carried a sin struggle, which I was embarrassed to confess to my family, friends, and members of my church, and it ate me up inside. As the years progressed, even though I continued to sit in pews in different churches, I could not have fully accept that God loved me because I thought he made me gay. And if he did, why am I not to pursue a same-sex relationship? I could not comprehend this and ultimately left the church. At one point, in my efforts to try and find answers, I began to attend a gay church. It didn't take me long to realize it was very superficial, and I was only going because my friends were attending. Eventually, I stopped going because I was still unfulfilled. Therefore, I tried to find fulfillment and satisfaction in bars, meaningless relationships, pornography, and wanting to be loved by friends, both gay and straight. Despite my search, the emptiness was still there, and the hole in my heart became bigger and bigger, and nothing was able to fill it. In 2006, severe depression led me to withdraw from most of my close friends and some family members. As a result, I spent many hours sitting in a bookstore, reading books, and listening to music. I only mention this because during this withdrawal period, I met a guy who became a very good friend of mine who would later, years later, lead me to Watermark. In retrospect, even though I was not in a place to pursue God, he was definitely pursuing me. He was setting the stage for my eventual salvation. However, I would encounter more pain, heartache, depression, sadness, and loneliness before the entire stage was revealed. While living in Boston, Massachusetts for 2 years, my isolation and depression became so dark that I attempted to take my life for a third time. I was at such a low point in my life, I didn't care if death resulted in me going to hell. Being locked in a hospital room and spending a week in an institution, I wondered why God saved my physical life. So I prayed for a change. After being released, I attended the therapy required by law. In one session, I was asked if I believed in a higher power. I stared at the ceiling as that question sunk in because at that point, I realized that I had spent many years running from a God I intellectually knew, but my actions and the way I lived proved otherwise. I longed for something to fill the space, the empty space in my heart. I walked back to my apartment praying to God, asking that if he would help me find a way to move back to Texas, I would find a church and dedicate my life to him. Within a few short weeks, an opportunity to return to my old position at work here in Dallas became available. I applied and was told I could return. That was the first indication God was listening and had a plan for me. After I moved back to Dallas, I reconnected with my bookstore friend at a Starbucks, something that Elise and I have in common, on August 12, 2012, to catch up. At the end of the conversation, he invited me to Watermark, which was the second clue that God was listening to my prayers. So later on, I sent him a private message on Facebook, and he responded. So indulge me as I read excerpts from a part of a much longer message and response. Hey, Scott, thanks for meeting me yesterday and hanging out. I have been thinking about your offer of attending church because that's the one big link that's missing from my life right now. But I have to be honest with you. The biggest struggle I had with the church is the hatred of gay people. It took me a long time to come to grips with my sexuality, and I can't go back to feeling ashamed of who I am. So in order for me to go to any church, I need to be accepted for who I am. And his response, hey, Cecil, thanks for being honest with me. I'm glad to see you are comfortable admitting it, and you shouldn't be ashamed to admit any struggles. As far as Watermark belief system goes, we are called to love everyone. And though we view homosexuality as a sin, it is no different than my struggles with lust and materialism. You're always more than welcome to come with me on a Sunday. No one is going to yell or call you out for anything. Though, if you decided to pursue serving or joining Watermark, they would ask you to confront the struggle in a group setting. I am not good with words, so I hope this hits you with encouragement and has a loving tone. I would enjoy meeting up with you sometime. The first Sunday I attended Watermark was in November 2012. I sat in the second row towards the top, scanning the crowd, thinking, this church is huge and very overwhelming. I don't think I could ever feel connected. All the churches I previously attended were about 100 people or less. I grew up in East Texas. And the irony of me worrying about me getting connected to Watermark is that I never really felt a part of any of the smaller churches. But I knew I wanted this to be different. I don't remember the sermon that day, but I walked out praying to God and asking him for guidance and to let me know if this is where I belong. For the next few months, I kept praying and asking God for guidance. At one point, my friend and I attended Regen later that year, but decided we didn't need it. Yet, a few months later, I went through a season of feeling there were deeper issues haunting me regarding my same-sex attraction that I couldn't shake. I kept praying and asking God, what did I need to do to fight this battle? And one morning, I literally woke up and regeneration popped in my head. After that revelation, while serving one Sunday, a friend of mine brought up the topic of regeneration, and he shared how God transformed his life through the program. The next Monday night, I walked in not knowing what to expect. It seemed a bit daunting and overpowering. After listening to everyone's stories, it became evident I needed to face my struggle in a real way using God's words. The leader ended our group by praying for each person by name and specifically for each of their struggles. When he called me by name and prayed for me, I felt that I was the only guy in that circle and that God was speaking to me. I went home that night and knew without a doubt God was once again working in my life. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ snatched me from a life of low self-esteem, loneliness, unhappiness, looking for acceptance from man, and longing for an unnatural relationship for love. But now, I have been saved by his grace and love. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I now serve as a leader in Groundworks. I love sharing my story of how God has transformed my outlook on life. I held a lot of resentment and bitterness towards family, friends, and even God for many years. The biblical principles of regeneration helped me to unlock those buried feelings and confront them in a way I never thought was possible. I no longer desire a homosexual relationship and have given up pursuing one. I confront conflict immediately and admit my part and ask for forgiveness. Being in a community group with a group of faithful guys has helped me realize the importance of surrounding myself with God followers. They have held me accountable when I fall short of God's glory and have shown me how to be faithful in my walk. My overall perspective on life is not about worrying what the world thinks of me, but on my eternal life. Matthew 6:19 through 21 helps me with focusing on my eternal life. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I spend time in his word each morning praying for continued wisdom and growth. I am thankful for the love of God and fellow believers. My heavenly Father has shown me what true joy is in him. He blesses me in ways I never thought was imaginable. And to bring it all full circle, my friend Scott, last month I officiated his wedding. As you can see, despite my stubbornness to run away from God, he kept pursuing me. My God wants you to run to him for life and trust in him. My name is Cecil. I have a fantastic new life in Christ, and I am recovering from same-sex attraction and depression. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rescued me from a dark life, and I have been happily saved by Jesus' grace and love.